Amen. It is good to be here with you again today and open the Word of God. You can be turning to Luke chapter 2, and I would like to invite all of the junior worship kids down here to join me. It's a rare thing that this is not the last Sunday of the month, but we have our kids with us, and so I'd love to have you come on down. We're going to read the Christmas story together. Come on down, everybody. Come on down and have a seat. What a blessing to have all these kids. We're glad you're here today. Are you guys excited about Christmas? Is anybody excited about Christmas? Okay, a few of you are. Okay, that's good. You're not excited about Christmas? You are excited about Christmas. Okay, all right, good deal. Well, this is out of Luke chapter 2, and this is the story of the birth of Jesus. And so we're just going to read it together. I'm going to read it off my phone. If you have a phone, you should have the Bible app on it, okay? When you get a phone, put the Bible app on it, okay? God's Word says this: it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus. What's a decree? Law, yeah. A law went out from Caesar Augustus that the world should be registered, that a census, that this census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his hometown. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife. What does betrothed? Yeah, they're engaged, that's right. His engaged wife, who was with child, and so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign unto you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." And so it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told them. So this is the true story of Christmas, and we've kind of turned it into something that's it's good, you know. I mean, who doesn't like getting gifts? Who doesn't like wondering what's under the tree? But we just got to remember, and even as adults, we got to remember to remember the true reason why we celebrate Christmas, and that is because the greatest gift ever given was given through the most unusual means, and he was given for you and for me and for the whole world because God loved each one of us. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, they're kind of representative. The presents under the tree are kind of representative of what the wise men gave Jesus. So then, should we only have three presents under the tree? Nobody agreed with me down here. Yeah. Yes. But yes. Okay, we got one. We got one. Very good. Yeah. So, yeah, there are glimpses of how we celebrate Christmas. There are glimpses of Jesus. And I just want to encourage you to be looking for those, okay? because he really is the true reason for the season. Okay? Thanks for coming down. You can go have a seat. Hey there. How are you?
Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Thank you. Luke chapter 2. It's an exciting day, isn't it? Man, in just a few days, I hope that each one of us will be able to celebrate our traditions with friends and family. And it really is important for all of us to remember that we're here today celebrating something that really happened. This is no fairy tale. This is no fable. I believe with all my heart that this story that we just read together, it really did happen. So if you're not in Luke 2 yet, you can be turning there. There is a word, and Jared mentioned it earlier, that we've been celebrating, we've been looking at this entire month in anticipation for today, and that word is Advent. And so we've lit the Advent candles here today. Advent simply means coming or arrival. And in the Advent season, we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, and we also look forward to the time where he will return to this earth to take those of us who have believed in and trusted in him, surrendered to him, take us back with him to heaven. It's a focus on the past, and it's a hope for the future. Christ has come, and through his Spirit, he is present even here with us today, living in the hearts of each and every believer. But we look forward to the day that he will come again in power. So whether you realize it or not, every one of us, we have this feeling of longing for his return. There's a feeling of longing that something in this world is just missing. Every one of us, we have this longing for this fulfillment that only Jesus can bring. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says that God has set eternity in our hearts. And so that explains the longing within us. Actually, the whole earth, all of creation feels the same way. Romans 8:22 and 23. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. So hopefully today we come with that spirit of expectation, a spirit of longing, and a spirit of preparation. Like the slaves in Israel, hopefully we come with a desire for a deliverance that only God can bring. A desire from deliverance from sin that is so prevalent in this world. That deliverance, it all started with a baby. And as we have already read the Christmas story here in Luke, there are four things fulfilled in it as we wait for the second coming of Christ. It's things that we've been looking at all month. If you have a bulletin, on the back is the outline. You can be following along. If you're in the Bible app, if you go to location, and you'll be able to find us and follow along with our screens if you're in the YouVersion app. But number one on the outline, it is hope. It's hope. And to understand the hope present in the Christmas story, we got to go all the way back to Genesis and the garden. Many of us know the story where God created everything, and he said it was good. He created man and woman and said they are very good. And he instructed them not to eat of the fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And as the story goes, Satan took the form of a snake, caused Eve to question God's motives, and tempted her to go against God and choose her own way. She did, as did Adam, and ever since the world has been broken. Jared mentioned it earlier, Genesis 3:15. Look what God said to the serpent. I will put enmity, that word means opposition, between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Now notice that word seed. The second time it's used there, it's capitalized. That is the first messianic prophecy in Scripture, just three chapters in. Not long after the beginning of time, the world began to look for that seed and hope that he would come soon. We see glimpses of him throughout Scripture. Sometimes quite possibly the pre-incarnate Christ. Sometimes it's just a picture of him. In Exodus, it was the Passover lamb. It was a picture of Christ. In Leviticus, the sacrificial system was set up, but it was incomplete because it had to be done year after year after year until Jesus came to be the sacrifice to end all sacrifices. In Ruth, Boaz is the kinsman redeemer. Jesus is our redeemer. God's glory filled the temple in 1 and 2 Kings. It's a picture of Christ. David described him as the shepherd in the Psalms. Joel described him as the hope of his people. And Malachi refers to him as the son of righteousness. But they still waited. They still hoped for him to come. You may or may not know, there were 400 years between the Old and New Testaments. We sang about it today. 400 years of silence where there was no revealed word from God. And so they waited. Hundreds of thousands of years they waited and they hoped. When all the pieces were in place, when Caesar Augustus was the emperor and Quirinius was the governor, verse 7 there in Luke 2, she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. See, friends, if our hope is in the right one, it will be fulfilled. If our hope is in the right one, Jesus Christ, it will be fulfilled. Our hearts were created to be filled with hope, but we get so distracted. We get tired of waiting, and many times our disdain for waiting, it causes us to put our hope in something else. The next blank's on your outline. Only Jesus satisfies our hope. Only Jesus satisfies our hope. What are you hoping for this Christmas? As kids, we hoped for what was in the packages under the tree, but as adults, it kind of changes. I hope I'm not lonely. I hope I get to see my family. I hope that they can see that God is real. I hope my heart prepares him room. Look at Psalm 135. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who are watching for the morning. O Israel, verse 7, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord, there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Now we know this was written about Israel, but God is most certainly our merciful Redeemer here today. Romans 15:4, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. I wonder, do you have hope today? Thinking back as they waited for Jesus, many missed him. And some, like the Pharisees, they missed him in the name of religion. Others just wouldn't take him at his word. Don't miss Jesus. Fully put your hope in him today and each and every day. Number two is peace. The peace of Christmas. The angel announced it to the shepherds, Luke 2:14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. Now, peace on earth, it would have been as intriguing a concept to these shepherds as it is in our world today to have peace on earth. This was a message of peace to a world who had known much war. You may or may not care about history, but the Pax Romana had been in effect for almost 50 years at this point. It's just translated Roman peace. And this was actually a 200-year-long period of relative peacefulness and minimal expansion by the Roman military force. And if you were in the Roman Empire, you had experienced it. And don't we know that many, when they heard this announcement of peace, they thought, well, if we have Roman peace, then why do we need anything else? But friends, don't we know the absence of war doesn't guarantee the presence of peace, nor does the presence of war guarantee the absence of peace. One philosopher said it like this: while the emperor may give peace from war, he cannot give peace of heart, for which man yearns for more than even outward peace. This Jewish word for peace is shalom. It means more than a truce in battles. It means well-being, security, soundness, completeness. And it has to do more with character than it does with circumstances. The angels declared peace, and it was longed for by these shepherds. In a time when taxes were high and morals were slipping under military rule and Jewish religious hypocrisy, no one offered the peace that Jesus offered. No one else could give peace longed for in the hearts of these men other than this precious baby born among the animals. And friends, the same is true for us today. Only the Prince of Peace can bring peace to your heart. No matter what situation you find yourselves in, only the Prince of Peace can bring peace to your heart and your situation. I want to invite everyone back in the coming weeks. We're in the middle of a study through the book of Galatians, and pretty soon we'll be in Galatians chapter 5, where it lists the fruit of the Spirit. And it's those things that come out of us because the Holy Spirit lives inside us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And most of the time, when I ask anybody what their favorite fruit of the Spirit is, most of the time they say peace. Because we too are a people whose hearts long to be at rest. We long for well-being and soundness and completeness and security. And so today at Christmas, I wonder, do you have it? Do you have that peace in your heart? A peace that passes understanding, no matter what situation you are going through. Do you have the peace of God in your heart? Because we can look for it everywhere in this world, but it will only be found in Jesus Christ. And it is only attained when we surrender. You can write that down, the next blank on your outline. This peace of God, it's only attained when we surrender our lives to Him and we finally accept His free gift of life. Have you surrendered your life to Him? Because just like any gift we will get this week, it has to be received. This one is received. The greatest gift in the universe is received by faith when we accept His payment for our sins. We surrender our lives and say, okay, Lord, I'm yours. Have you come to that place yet? See, I believe that God has had a good design for this world. One where everyone would live in peace, where things would be good, and when you turned on the TV, you'd only see good news. Where there was nothing but good going on. But as you know, that is not the world that we live in. Something went terribly wrong, and the Bible has a word for it. The word is sin. Sin can be described as when people choose to go against God. We decided a long time ago, back in the garden, that we knew better than God, and so we're going to follow our own path. That's what Adam and Eve did, and they passed it on to us. Sin is anything that we do against God. It's anything we don't do that we should do. Sin always leads to brokenness, and sin is why we live in such a messed up world. As a pastor, I I get to talk to a lot of people, and I've found that most people understand what brokenness is. It's that feeling of loss when you lose someone close to you. Brokenness is that shame you feel when you do something wrong. It's that sense of man, just loss when you see injustice. Brokenness is that feeling of worthlessness or loneliness that you may be even carried in here today with you. Along the way, we have realized, people have realized that we are broken, and so we have tried everything we could to try to fix it. We try things like status or relationships or stuff or gifts or possessions or money. Sometimes we try a substance to try to fix what's broken inside of us. But what we find is every time, no matter what we try to use to fix our brokenness, it only leads to more and more brokenness. But that's where the Christmas story comes in. That Jesus came as the only solution for our brokenness. He came as this precious baby, the only Son of God, to grow up and one day pay the price for your sins and my sins by dying on the cross. And salvation is offered to everyone through Christ, because the good news is he's not in that grave anymore. He raised from the dead, and he is alive and well today. And he is the one that we still worship. And he is the one that offers the best gift in the universe, eternal life, that you can for the rest of your life and all eternity by making that choice to surrender to him today. If you have questions about salvation, please talk to somebody, talk to myself, talk to somebody that will answer those questions for you before you leave this service. That leads to number three. We're almost done. It's joy. It's joy. There is much joy in the Christmas story. Anytime a story as ancient as this is still as fresh as it was the first time, there's joy. Anytime the angels are drawn out of heaven to sing praises, there is joy. Verse 10 in Luke 2, the angels said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Go ahead and turn to your neighbor and say, "Hey, that's for you. That joy is for you." Think about these angels for just a moment. They knew Jesus. They had been in his presence. They had seen his glory. They had spent much time with him, even though there's not time in heaven. They had worshiped him and served him. They knew the moves to the choreographed worship. They knew the songs by heart, and they believed every word to be true. They had laughed with him. Some might argue that they fully understood how gracious he is. They knew Jesus, which is why there is so much joy and why they are so excited that the Creator is born as a creature, because they knew what this meant. They knew and trusted that this was all a part of their omniscient God's plan to redeem those that he loved so deeply. And for the first time in centuries, God's glory returned to earth. They understood better than we can in our current state, 1 Timothy 3:16, "Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh." We see these rugged and hardworking shepherds. They were scared by the angels, and so they said to them, "Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." That word tidings, it means good news. And the good news is, Jesus is here. The long-awaited Messiah has come to earth to fix everyone's brokenness. And he's been born as a baby, not just for Jews, not just for rich people, not just for kings, not just for those who are on the top of the heap, but for all people. It's good news that still rings true for you and I today. The reason he came was all for the glory of God. Verse 13, "Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. The angels knew something the shepherds didn't. God's glory returned to earth. But once the shepherds found out, they went and told everybody. Look at verse 17. When they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. The next blank's on your outline. The joy of the Lord, it should compel us to tell others. The joy of the Lord should compel us to tell others that Jesus has come. We will likely have opportunities in the coming days to tell lost family and friends about the incredible Savior born in this stable. I wonder, who might God call you to tell this good news of Jesus? Now, on the other hand, joy may not be the best descriptor for you today. For some of us, this is your first Christmas without a loved one. Others, you haven't recovered from a loss years ago. If we're really honest, some of you are dreading being with your family this week. Nehemiah 8:10 says, "Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Psalm 30:50, "Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning." And the reality is, the gospel of Jesus fixes everything. It doesn't fix everything right now. And that's what we're waiting for. Waiting for Jesus means waiting for him to fix it. And unfortunately, there is no easy button that can make everything better for some of our situations. Some of them are heavy. And so my prayer has been, as I've worked on this message, this Christmas, that the joy and hope and peace of the birth of Jesus would break through your struggles, that his joy would be your strength, and that morning would come. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. May we see the joy in the hearts of his people and in the eyes of our children. May we have joy that can only come from God. And let us find joy in more than decorations and presents and lights. Let our joy be real. We have reason for joy. Jesus came to earth. And that leads to number four. And that is love. The love of Advent. Through all the waiting, throughout the Old Testament, and even through all the pictures that we see of Christ, because of sin, the world became more and more broken. And if you know the story, at one point God even decided to destroy everything except for what would fit on an ark and start over. But even with those seemingly super spiritual family of Noah, the world was still broken. God eventually established his people, the Israelites. And eventually they started out on this course of spiraling out of control because of their brokenness. He made it clear what he expected from them, and they even agreed to do it. But time after time after time, they would turn away from God, and just like Adam and Eve, they decided to go their own way, and they ended up destroyed because of their sin. And so notice the pattern. They turn away from God, they spiral out of control, and they're destroyed because of sin. And church, that is exactly where you and I would be if it weren't for the love of God. Because I am more than capable of turning away from him and pursuing my own agenda. This pattern continued in the Old Testament. It was obvious that God's people could not keep their end of the deal. But in his love, God did something about it. John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Romans 8:38 and 39, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The last blanks on your outline. The birth of Jesus is the greatest picture of God's love for His people. The birth of Jesus, it's the greatest picture of God's love for you. His love has been described as never stopping, never giving up, always and forever love. His steadfast love is evident in the birth of His Son. You and I, honestly, we cannot fathom the depths of love that would cause our awesome and infinitely holy and powerful Creator God to leave the halls of heaven where He is worshipped as He should be, but to leave it all behind and become one of us, to dwell among us, this rebellious and sinful people who have no inclination to even care at all what He says. But because of His love, we can celebrate today. I wonder, have you somewhat grasped His love? Sometimes we don't feel it, and so we got to choose to believe it because we know it's true. The love of God is the love of Christmas. Christ has come. If you would, turn your attention to the screens. We watch one more video.
This is the story on which all stories rest. This is the moment on which all of history is hinged. Time comes to a stop here and starts again, bringing a brand new age. There was the before time, when chains of grief and sorrow weighed us down, and the after time, when captives are set free. Before, hope and freedom were distant dreams. Peace seemed fleeting, and love poured through our fingers like sand. But now, the before and the after meet under this starry sky and quiet air, in the arms of a young mother and father, the Messiah. He came into this world just like us, just as vulnerable, just as needy. As one of us, He came for us, swaddled in cloth, but wrapped in love. He changed time as we knew it. He changed history as we understood it. He changed the very way we came before our God. With all the anticipation we had for His coming, we could have never guessed this kind of arrival. He is the greatest gift ever given. Jesus.
Amen. It's because of that that we have hope, we can have peace, we can have joy, and we can experience the love of Christ no matter what situation we're going through. And so as we light our candles, they represent the light of Christ. See, all of these things should compel us to tell others about Him. So as we do this, picture passing the light from yourself to somebody else. Would you sing with us?
Silent night, holy.
amen. From our family to yours, our families to yours, Merry Christmas. We are thankful that you've come and joined us here today. If you are looking for a church home, there is an open invitation for you to come each and every Sunday. But we hope that you have a great Christmas, and let's not forget the true reason for why we celebrate. In the name of Jesus, amen. You are dismissed. Yep.
Oh, this is lovely. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
I had